Tonight the Lord would bless and accompany His Word. I don't apologize at all for the burden the Lord put on my heart tonight. I do realize the kind of message, the burden that I have. I wish I was about 30 years older, but I'm not. So I want to be faithful to give the burden that the Lord has put on my heart. And I realize that the subject, that my burden is on the subject of Christian marriage. And I know there are some of you here that have probably been, I don't know, maybe a couple of you have been married about twice as long as I've been alive. But I want you to understand tonight that the Word of God is our final authority. And I know that God created the institution of marriage. That institution was created in essence before the church was. And the family is something that lies very close to the heart of God. And it is very important tonight, and I know maybe some of you may think, well, I'm not sure this is applicable to me. But to those that are unmarried, you may get married one day. To those that are married, it is very applicable. And I find that it's not only young people, people that have been newly wed, that need to give consideration to the biblical counsel and advice on marriage. But I have found that there are many people that have lived together, been married for years and years, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years, and their home is not a pleasant place to be. It is God's plan and God's design for your home to be a happy place. And I want you to know this evening that if you and your companion are both saved, your home can be a happy place. It may be that maybe you came to a time in life that you realize that we are so different, that maybe I would have done something different. I want you to know that the grace of God is the key to a happy marriage. It does not matter how different you may be. It doesn't matter the things in your companion that may be a trial to you. There is grace that will enable you to have a wonderful home of happiness and love for each other. And that is God's plan for our homes tonight. And if you have an unsaved companion, and I'm not going to dwell as much on that, but I want to say that I believe tonight that God has a special measure of grace for you. He has a special measure of grace to enable you to fill your place in the home as it is laid out in the Word of God. It's not always going to be the most pleasant thing to do. It's not always going to be the easiest thing to do. But folks, whatever situation we are in tonight, when you will obey the Word of the Lord, there God commands a blessing. And so it is tonight that regardless of what the society says about marriage, folks, we want to understand what the Word of God teaches. And there are some plain, clear teachings of the Word of God that the enemy, and I'm not, again, we don't need to blame the secular religion, but the enemy would like to creep in right among us and blur our understanding of the clear teachings of the Word of God on the subject of marriage. If you'll turn with me to the second chapter of Genesis, start at the beginning. Second chapter of Genesis in the 20th verse. Scripture says, Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field, but for Adam there was not found a helpmeet for him. It almost sounds like God kind of looked around the animals, doesn't it? It said, among all the animals there was not found a helpmeet for him. And so it says, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and he brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, and the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. You know, that's a beautiful picture. God creating a woman to provide companionship for Adam, to provide companionship for man. And folks, it is noteworthy tonight that marriage is something, it's the closest of all human relationships. And I want you to know, if you have a relationship closer to anybody, whether it be mother or father or children or a friend, anybody that is closer to you than your companion, the Lord has some work for you to do tonight. Because our companion, male and female, we were created for each other to enter into a relationship that we would leave mother and father and cleave to each other. There are too many people that are trying to base their marriages around mom and dad. Folks, you're opening yourself up to a lot of trouble. When you get married, you still maintain a love and a relationship to your parents. But when you get married, you leave home and you now are starting a family of your own. And not only do you need to have that kind of relationship with your husband, wife, but I want to say to the mothers and fathers that have married children tonight, you respect the marriage relationship of your son or your daughter. There have been too many mothers and fathers that have tried to dabble in situations that God would have them leave their hands off of and realize that a husband, wife, even if you think you could take care of some things, they need to build a relationship together without the involvement of mom and dad standing in between. As much as you love your children, we need to respect the scriptural teaching that for this cause, a man or a woman would leave his mother and father. So that means, mothers and fathers, with all love and respect tonight, allow your sons and your daughters to enter into this close relationship together. Even when there are difficulties, if they need advice and you have provided, been a good father and a mother, you know where they'll turn. But when you begin to want to force your way in, you're going to cause more difficulty between a husband and wife. And the Lord would leave you commit that to Him. Amen. Marriage, the Scripture says in the 13th chapter of Hebrews, it says it is an honorable estate. Folks, the marriage is something that the world is despising today. There are more divorces than there are marriages taking place. And the world is not esteeming the institution of marriage. And as God's people, the devil is trying to battle the institution of marriage as well. But we need to guard that, and we need to give it the esteem and the respect that God intended for it there to be. Yeah. It's an honorable thing. Marriage should be a haven for you. Your home should be a refuge. You go out in the world, folks, we have trials and we have battles, and it's not a very pleasant experience for someone, a husband or wife, to come home and just be more in the battle. Our home should be a refuge for us. It should be a place that our home is founded on love. It is founded on the grace of God. It is founded on the Lord working a mutual love and respect that we have for each other. And God's desire is to bless your home tonight. And if there are difficulties in your home, I want you to understand that God's grace can enable you to have a happy home. God can give you a greater love for your companion, that it might come to a place that it is a refuge. Too many have turned it into a war zone. And so the husband doesn't want to spend time at home. And he makes excuses. He finds a reason to be at work. Because I don't have to deal with the trouble and the stress of going home. Wives trying to gear up for when their husband comes home. Stealing themselves. Folks, that ought not to be. And you know, there are too many people tonight that have professions of salvation and sanctifications, and their homes are not what they ought to be. The Lord has laid down a pattern for us. He's given us some instruction. And folks, I want to say, I said in the beginning, the Word of God is the final authority. And so if you don't like it, and a lot of it, some of what we're going to look at tonight is not socially acceptable anymore. But the Word of God has laid down a plan that still works today. I haven't been married as long as many of you. I'm working on 10 years. But folks, I'm finding that the Word of God works. It works. You can have a happy home. But it's only going to be as it's in accordance to the Word of God. A marriage should be based on love. Love is something that goes beyond emotion. You hear about people that have been married for years and years, and then they say, well, one day I woke up and I just didn't have any love for my wife anymore. And so they go out searching for love. True love tonight is not based on emotion. Emotion comes with love, but the foundation of love is commitment and responsibility. Isn't it that way with the Lord as well? Every morning you wake up, there's not just some overflowing, gushing emotion every morning. Say, Lord, I love you so much. But yet the commitment is there. Lord, I love you. I'm still committed to you. I'm still choosing you above everybody else. Our marriages should be the same way. And there may be some times you wake up in the morning and you don't just feel that overflowing gush of emotional love for your companion. And don't look at me cross-eyed, folks. You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. Love goes beyond that emotion. I appreciate in those times where there is that strong emotion. Those are good times, aren't they? But there are also good times when your love is still strong. Honey, I'm still committed to you. I still choose you above everybody else. I made a vow to you. And I have eyes only for you or mine. We are joined together. That is what marriage is about, dear ones. It's about commitment and responsibility. And when you begin to find your commitment getting lax, you're going to find that the enemy is going to be right there to begin to try to take advantage of you. He'll send things in your path to try to distract you. He'll give you other things to do. Folks, marriage, to have a successful, blessed marriage, is going to take some effort on your part tonight. It's not enough to just come and say a prayer and get up and say, well, I have a wonderful marriage and I prayed about it. It's going to take some work and effort. It's going to take some energy and some sacrifice. But if you will be willing to do that tonight, God will bless your home. It's about partnership. When you get married, it says here, you leave your father and mother and cleave unto your wife, and they shall be one flesh. Marriage is about oneness. There are too many people in their marriages today that are wanting to establish their own identity. Folks, if you're married, when you got married, you pledged to join yourself to someone else, that now you're not two separate individuals, but you are joining into one. And if you think you still want to go out, and I still want to be my own man or my own woman, and I want to go do my own thing, you're going to have trouble in your marriage. You're going to have problems. But this is about unity and coming together in a bond. It's about partnership. It's not about me anymore. Amen. It's not about what I want. Yeah. Honey, what do you want? Yeah. Yeah. What can I do to make you happy? Yeah. Brothers, listen up. Yeah. We need to realize that this is important. Yeah. Honey, what can I do for you? And I don't think it's what I believe that marriage and problems, a lot of times, it comes from the wife, it comes from the husband. It's mutual many times. But I want to say probably more often than not, the burden lies with the husband. Yeah. You love your wife. You do for her. You sacrifice for her. Yeah. Do what will make her happy. Yeah. It's not just about coexisting. I've seen a lot of people. I'm going to say it where we live, folks. Among the saints, that the only reason they're together is because they say, well, we don't divorce. Well, shame on the devil. We don't. The Bible teaches, folks, remarriage is wrong. But you don't have to settle tonight for just a mere coexistence. There is a place in the Lord. There's a place in the Lord that God can bless your home. He can bless you. Don't settle for less than what God has, but realize it's not going to come about by your way. It's going to come about by God's way. I said that it's not going to work trying to establish our own identity, and that is true, but there's a balance to that. We are still two individuals. joined together as one. But do you know that that means my wife still has a different personality than I do? I think a little differently than she does. We act a little bit differently. That means we're still separate. We're still different. And do you know that in marriages, we need to have a common respect for our companion? A common respect. If you don't like something about your companion, get grace for it. Get grace for it.
Amen.
And you know, you'll be a lot happier. Instead of trying to change that attribute or characteristic about your companion, why don't you ask the Lord to begin to change you? To help you have a greater love and acceptance of who your companion is and their personality. Marriage is about trust. Scripture in the 31st Proverb in the 11th verse says, the heart of her husband, speaking of a wife, the heart of her husband does safely trust in her. You know that where there is not trust in your home, what's the opposite of trust? Suspicion. To have a happy home, you're going to have to trust your companion. I want to encourage you, though, first of all, walk worthy of the trust that your companion puts in you. Live in such a way and with a carefulness that your husband or your wife doesn't have to be wondering where you've been. Wondering what you've been doing. Live in such a way to earn that trust and to gain that trust. But on the other side of that, folks, there are some men especially that are possessed with jealousy. They're very jealous, and any time they see their companion, maybe even just talking to someone, they get jealous and something rises up within them. Yeah. Folks, that's not conducive to a happy home. There needs to be a mutual trust for each other.
Yeah.
And I'm not suspicious or jealous. Do you know there are times in marriage, and I'll speak this by permission. There are times in a marriage that when you're young people, you go do what you want generally. You go out with the guys, and that's good. That's fine. And the girls get together and go do things together. That's good. And when you get married, that ought to slow down. That ought to slow down. Honey, I'm going out with the guys tonight. She never sees you because you're always out with the guys. Something's wrong with that. You have chosen, honey, I'm your companion now.
Amen.
But there is a balance to that as well.
Amen.
Husbands, your wife still needs to have friends.
Yes.
And to have friends, it takes time to cultivate friendship. And the same thing for the husbands. And on occasion, it is healthy. It is healthy for a husband or a wife to, honey, go do something with your friends. You want to get together and work on this, or go together and do such and such and have some time together. Folks, that's healthy as long as there's a balance there and a moderation. You see, some husbands don't want to let go of the wife. They want to be right beside them. Folks, there's something not quite balanced about that. There needs to be a trust in a healthy relationship that we are partners, we are committed to each other, and I'm not going to be jealous of my husband or wife if upon occasion they want to have some other friends as well. You see, that's healthy. That's healthy. I speak that by permission, not by commandment. Mention something about fathers and mothers.
Amen.
When you get married, your loyalty should be to each other.
Yeah.
That means above mom and dad. Parents respect that. Did you say in your vows that you would guard their reputation as you do your own? If you didn't, I trust that it was a vow in your heart. You know, there's too much idle talk about people's companions today. Well, my husband, he's just... And just begin to list out some of the problems. And, oh, my husband, he just gets on my nerves when he does such and such. Sisters, it ought not to be so. Husbands, when you get with the guys, you get with your friends, you get with family members that you're comfortable with, There should be no time and there is no occasion to run your companion down. If you love your wife as Christ loved the church, you are going to guard her reputation as you do your own. And folks, I don't know how you feel about it, but frankly, I don't like people running me down. I don't go and run myself down. And you know, I'm thankful my wife doesn't do that. She doesn't do that, and I'm not perfect either. But she's guarding my reputation. And that's my desire as well. Husbands and wives, there's two... Again, I can say this because I don't know if it's in this congregation. I have no idea. So I can feel real free right now. If you are someone, there are some people I know places that they just like to talk about the faults of their companion. And you wonder why you have marriage problems. And you wonder why things are a little bit tense when you get in the car to leave somewhere. Guard your reputation. Guard the reputation of your husband and wife like you do your own, folks. If there is any time and there is a place, if there is abuse and there are needs that you need counsel, there is a door there for you to go to someone, pray with them and counsel with them. But do not use counsel as an excuse. Everybody you come in contact with, you tell them the problem of your companion and say, I'm just getting counsel. Yeah. You see, this happens, folks. This happens. And if you begin to get pretty soon, you counsel with everybody in the congregation. Folks, again, the devil's at work right there. And so then your companion walks in and everybody, I wonder how things at home are going now. What goes on in your home, nobody else ought to know about, folks. If there are troubles and there are problems and there maybe be some things in your companion that are an annoyance to you, nobody else ought to ever know it by what you say. Unless it is truly for the desire to seek help and counsel and get help from God. So what does the world do? You know, when you get married, I don't know of anyone that has never had any adjustments to make. You have two people that were raised differently, think differently, act differently, and you get married and you really sometimes start to find out how different you really are. You can learn to love each other greater, can't you? By the grace of God. The world, when that happens and they see that, well, we're not compatible. We thought we were. Folks, I want you to know that the grace of God can make you compatible. Her husband committeth adultery. The Scripture made no difference in the innocent party and someone that had a problem. The Scripture here said, if a man put away his wife and go and marry another, that man hath committed adultery. And it said, and whosoever married her, the wife that was put away, maybe at no fault of her own, whoever marries that woman, the innocent woman, he hath committed adultery as well. Yeah. And we're not going to spend a lot of time here, but I want us to understand that the Word of God teaches, folks, that remarriage is wrong. When you get married to a companion, you marry your husband or wife, as it says in the 7th chapter of 1 Corinthians, you are bound together as long as you both live. And death is the only thing that separates. Folks, the world does not practice this today, and it's not very popular, but I want us to understand the Scripture still teaches that when you get married to someone, you are entering into the most sacred of all covenants between people, and in the sight of God, that covenant is there until one of you dies. And you may go out. You have the right, if you want, to go out and marry someone else, but in the eyes of God, your companion is that first one you married. It's a serious thing to get married. Some say, who can hear it? But folks, because God teaches this, there is a plan of marriage that is laid down that it will make it work in your life. It'll work and you can be happy in it. And I want to keep emphasizing that. But remarriage, when you have a living companion, that is not your lawful companion. And in the eyes of God, it is nothing more than adultery. I keep mentioning grace. There's a reason for that. You can go pay your money for your marriage seminars if you want to. Some of those I really wouldn't advise a lot of them. But I have found, and in observation and dealing with others as well, that the answer to most problems in marriages, the simple grace of God is the answer most of the time. And people start to complicate it. You deal with your companion with the fruit of the Spirit, and you're going to have a blessed home. Love and gentleness and long-suffering and meekness. You see that at work in the life of a husband and a wife, and that's the simple fruit of the Spirit, folks. We all ought to be exhibiting that fruit tonight. You have problems at home, folks, because of your attitudes. You have spiritual problems. It's not just a difficulty that you're having with your companion. You have a spiritual need. And you get that spiritual need met through the Word of God and through the Spirit of God, and you're going to find things starting to improve at home. And I don't want you to understand, there are going to be times that you are going to have some differences. There are going to be times where you don't see things alike. There are going to be things sometimes that might tend to wear on you a little bit. But the question is, how are you responding to that thing? Is it with the fruit of the Spirit, folks? Young people, those that haven't been married very long, those of you that have been married a long time that are struggling tonight, there is grace for you. There's long-suffering and gentleness and meekness that God will bless you spiritually. And in doing that, He'll bless your home and bless your companion as well. And that thing's going to flow through you, down through your family, to your children as well. Heard about couples before saying they went 3 days without talking to each other. Can you imagine that? Maybe you can. Pouting like children. They did something that upset me, so I'm just not going to talk. That just sounds like a spiritual need to me. Isn't that what it is? The ability, when we have differences of opinion, things, little battles or trials, to realize, to come together, pray together, seek God together, look to the Lord, not, Lord, bless my wife, or help my husband, Lord, you know how much he needs it. Isn't that, frankly, folks, I'm tired of hearing that. It's always, well, just, it's them, it's the men, or it's the woman, just, it's them. No, Lord, help me tonight. Lord, help me to be the husband that God wants me to be. Help me to be the wife that God wants me to be. You begin to focus on yourself, seeking for God to minister His grace in your life, and all of a sudden, you're going to see some improvement in your marriage. You wonder, well, what did God... Did God really help them? No, He helped you. He helped your perspective. But it is, as one individual said, the biggest misfortune that exists is the solitude of a man or a woman in matrimonial life. You know, that's a sad thing. When you have supposedly entered into a close relationship and you're lonely, there's no connection. Folks, that's not God's will.
Amen.
You see, marriage should be more than just a formality or this is who I live with. That's what the world is doing, is just living with somebody. There's something better than that in a Christian home. So I want to speak of Christian marriage tonight. There's something better than that tonight. A place that you can grow together. And you can open up with your weaknesses to each other. You know, it takes trust to share your weaknesses with each other. You know, there are things my wife knows about me that nobody else knows. I don't, that's where I want it to stay. I need to trust my wife then, don't I? And she needs to trust me. You need to develop that trust between each other, between you and your companion, that you can share those things that are closest to your heart and know that my wife, my husband, isn't going to go tell them somebody else. Folks, strong marriages and strong relationships are based on this. Trust. Mutual respect and care. And if there have been things Those of you, well, I won't take a poll tonight, but in all of marriages, if you've been married very long, there are probably going to be some things, some times, that maybe you have been hurt by your companion. Maybe some things done that maybe they didn't have the understanding that they should have. Or maybe they did something you just out and out did not understand. And how on earth could they do that? Do you know that if you do not forgive that thing is going to stand there in between you, and that can go on for years that way. And any time there's a little difficulty, you're always point back, but you remember when you did such and such. Or you remember what you did there, and you remember what you said. There needs to be forgiveness in marriages, folks. Because in a successful marriage, there are going to be times that we are less than perfect. There are times that saved and sanctified people fall short of having the fullness of grace that they ought to be having. That means not only does it take a spirit of humility on the person that maybe didn't have the grace, it's going to take forgiveness from their companion. Honey, I forgive you. Let's go on and not. We don't need to always dredge this thing back up. I want to ask in your marriages tonight, if you find yourself always having to pull things up from the past, it's time you seek God and ask Him to give you the grace to forgive your companion, that you can go on now and build a clean, strong foundation, not based on all the mistakes and failures of yesterday, of last year, of 10 years ago. You remember this, you better straighten up, because remember what you did back then. No, it needs to be some forgiveness, folks. Yes. And then move on. Yes. Lord, help us to allow the battles and the hardships and the trials of life not to allow the enemy to use those things to drive a wedge between us and our companion. I read something or heard something a while back that said that the divorce rate among people that have lost a child or had a death, someone close, the divorce rate is much higher among those people. Because when hardships come, and folks, hardships come to save people. You have financial difficulty just like everybody else. There are times, stressful times. There are times that there are heartaches and there are griefs and there are things that hard blows sometimes. But our purpose tonight in our marriages should be, Lord, I don't want to allow the enemy to use this hardship to separate my wife and I, but Lord, help us to come closer together. Sharing our sorrow, sharing our emotions with each other. You bottle up your emotions from your companion all the time, folks, and there's going to be a distance there. There's going to be a distance, and it need not be that way. Some say, well, you don't know my husband or wife. I'm speaking to Christian homes tonight, primarily. You took some vows. I don't know what vows you took, but you made some promises, didn't you? I'd just like to ask you, for your consideration, how have you been living up to those vows that you made to your husband or wife? Do you know on the wedding day, there's just kind of that fervor, you're just ready to have the ceremony and move on and things. That's just kind of the highlight of the day and things. But do you understand tonight that those vows, God heard those? God knew what you said. I will honor and cherish and respect and guard her reputation, choosing her above all others, in sickness and in health, in poverty and in riches. In every situation of life, I have committed myself to my companion. And the world says, we don't want that. But do you know what I find? You follow the Word of God, folks, and it's the best way to live. You look around at who has a happy marriage tonight. Marriage, I said, is a sacred relationship. If you'll turn with me to 1 Corinthians, and I'm not going to say much here, but I do feel a burden to bring this out. The Scripture says, In the third verse, 7th chapter, 1 Corinthians, beginning with the third verse, says, "Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband, and likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, for this purpose, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not." I just want to say to husbands and wives tonight that you should never use your affections as a tool to manipulate your companion. Amen. Sisters and brothers alike, there is too much of this going on. Husbands and wives withholding their affection, withholding themselves, putting distance between their companion because I'm just a little upset or I'm just a little put out with you. Folks, the Scripture teaches that that is wrong.
Amen.
And I have also, I believe tonight very strongly, that again, there is no excuse for adultery, for fornication, for sins of that nature. There's no place for that. But I also believe that when a husband or a wife is not fulfilling her biblical job... not job, her biblical place in the marriage, that there is some responsibility. When a husband or a wife goes out and is sinning, I believe back at home God places some responsibility there because the husband or wife may have not been doing what they should have been doing.
Yeah.
Placing distance, withholding my affection, and then they're not spending time at home, and pretty soon they're doing things they ought not to do. Yes, God is going to hold them accountable, and there's no excuses, but I believe there's some blood at your hands as well.
Yeah. Amen.
This is the Scripture. In Ephesians in the 5th chapter, and sisters, I want to say just a few things, and we're going to get to the brothers as well. We want to read what the Word of the Lord says here. In Ephesians in the 5th chapter, in the 22nd verse, it says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church and is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." Do you know that the devil is battling against this truth?
Yeah.
Folks, this is doctrine.
Right.
We're not speaking of tradition here. We're not speaking of something that Brother so-and-so said back a long time ago. This is the Word of the Lord.
Yeah.
The world does not like this. And I want to, again, be very frank with you tonight. I'm finding that, unfortunately, a lot of the brothers and sisters with a profession of salvation don't like this either. It's still the Word of God.
Yes.
This is the best way. Because it is the way of truth. There is a place, husbands and wives, it is a partnership. It is a working together. It is not the husband, and we're going to get to this in a minute, but the husband is not there, "I'm the head of the home and the domineering." The husband has a problem that does that. And I want you wives to understand that. We acknowledge that tonight. But there is a place in a marriage that the Lord has placed a wife in a position and in a place to be subject under her own husband. And when it comes down to it, you should have that communication line should be open, the relationship closed, that you talk about your decisions. And, "Well, honey, what do you think we ought to do? And what about this thing?" But when it comes down to it, wives, the Scripture says that a wife should be in subjection or in submission to her own husband. And there the world is not, let me say, the women's lib movement, it brought about some good things. But I want to say that the enemy used it to bring about some influences on the people of God that are not from God, but they're from the enemy. And you look at what has happened to the home and to marriages since that time period, and marriages are breaking up. They're not giving the regard and the esteem. A marriage is a holy institution, and a wife has a place to fill. And the Lord didn't give me the burden because what some a little bit what was said today. I want you to understand that. But I want us to understand that even when a husband is not filling his place in the home, a wife is still to fulfill her God-given place in the home. If your husband does not treat you with the love and respect that he ought to, God has still said, wives, you need to submit to your husbands as Christ does to the church. That is the role that the Lord placed a godly wife in. Scripture teaches in Titus in the 2nd chapter for the aged to teach the younger to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Folks, that's some pretty strong language there. That the word of God be not blasphemed. You find a sister, a wife, a mother that gets an independent spirit in their marriage, you're going to find the blessings of God are not going to be, He's not going to be there like He wants to be. You're going to find that there are some difficulties, and this goes beyond a husband and wife saying, well, we understand each other and our personalities, and I think I'll be the head of the home, and the husband says, that's okay. No, it doesn't matter if the husband agrees or not. It's in violation of the Word of God. The Scripture places a wife in a place of submission to her husband, whether or not the husband's being what he ought to be. The wife has a place to fill. The Scripture says to be keepers at home. It's something else, folks, that is getting to be rare in the world today. A wife and a mother who is a keeper at home. You see, society is geared to a two-person income. But you know, I have found that in my married life, I've looked around at others and I have seen where God has blessed when the mother and the wife has been a keeper at home. Placing priority on raising the children without leaving them with grandpa and grandma to babysit while I go do my work. To leave them with somebody else to raise my children. Folks, God has given us a responsibility tonight. And I know that it's not always popular, but folks, it's being threatened by the world today. But this is where the blessings of God are. Sisters, there's a blessing for you. There's a special blessing. And those that say, well, oh, your wife doesn't work. She stays at home. Believe you me, my wife works. When she was expecting, she couldn't work for a few months. And guess who had to try to do it? I was ready to get back to my other business. My wife works, folks. A keeper at home is a full-time job plus if you're doing your job like you ought to do, sisters. It's a full-time job. Now, I know when you first get married and there's not children, there may be some time and things. But I want to say when you have children, if you're going to keep your home, it's a full-time job. I hope you love me, sisters. This is where the blessings of God are. And I also want to say there are times and places that there are going to be some exceptions. A husband that has left, a husband that is not fulfilling his responsibility in providing for the family as God has given him, there are going to be times a sister is going to have to assume some responsibilities. Amen. That she wouldn't have to otherwise. So we need to deal with compassion in those circumstances. Okay, there's no judgment here tonight in this aspect of it. But I want us to understand the blessings of God on a Christian home is for a mother and a wife to be a keeper at home, being in subjection to her husband, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Now, husbands, I can talk to you with a little bit more authority. I'm one of you. In the 25th verse, it said, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now, that says a lot about the husband, not just about the wife. And then down the 28th verse, it says, so ought men, in the 25th verse, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the Word. In the 28th verse, it says, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Brethren, If you treat your wife as Christ treats the church, she's not going to wonder at your love and commitment. Your wife's not going to have to look on and see you're just trying to be the head of the home. Folks, it ought not to be. We need to be the head of the home in our example, in our love, in our honor, in our respect, and how we cherish our wives. Christ never requires something of us that's not good for us. Everything that Christ left to the church, folks, He gave Himself for us. You want to find a happy home? It's where you're going to find a husband who is actively, daily giving Himself for his wife. Honey, I'm interested in your happiness. I want you to be happy. How can I serve you? How can I serve you? Yes, that's the husbands. How can I serve you? Christ gave Himself for the church. And again, without play, again, circumstances are very different. But like I say, more often than not, brethren, the responsibility lies at our door. You start loving your wife as Christ loved the church, and you watch your wife's love start just to flow out to you. You want to have a happy home, you start giving yourself for your wife, putting her interests above your own. Seeking her welfare before your own.
Yeah.
You see, that's our responsibility as husbands tonight.
Yeah. Lord bless.
Scripture teaches us in the third chapter, 1 Peter, to dwell with them according to knowledge, as unto the weaker vessel. And it goes on to say that your prayers be not hindered. We're talking about the Word of God being blasphemed and prayers hindered because husbands and wives not fulfilling their scriptural role in the home. Your prayers can be hindered, brethren. How have you been treating your wife? Scripture in 1 Timothy in the 5th chapter in the 8th verse says, if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith. And is worse than an infidel. Brethren, we have a God-given responsibility to provide for our families. There are too many men, brethren, that go out and buy their big toys.
Yes.
And their children have needs.
Yes.
And their wife hasn't had any new clothes for a long time. And you have a new toy you want to buy. Brethren, there's something wrong with that.
Yeah.
Placing your wife's welfare above your own. Putting her interests before your own. And the Scripture teaches very clearly it is the man, the husband's responsibility to work and provide for his family and for his children. I have seen some men who are more willing to give to other people than they were to their own wife. And I received some from that, and I wasn't sure what to do because I wanted to say, you need to take this and take it back home. You have some other obligations. Brethren, we have responsibility tonight. You go out and you work and you bring home that paycheck whose name is on it. Well, see, it has my name on it. Well, your wife is there in invisible ink. It may not be written there, but brethren, you trade with your wife for a while and you're going to be so glad to go back to your job. You're going to be so glad. You may be the one that brings home the paycheck, brethren. That money is not yours now. That money is the family's. It's for the good of the family. It's not my money and your money. You see, but now it is there to bring us together, the finances to provide for the wife, and she should have a say as much as you do on where that money goes, on what her plans are and what she would like. Brethren, we need to have respect for our wives. Too many inconsiderate men, well, this is my money. And your wife is staying at home, cooking your meals and washing your dirty clothes, and it's your money? Something's wrong with that, brethren. Something's wrong with that. And it happens too often. It happens too often right where we live. Expressions of love are important. How long has it been since you told your companion that you love him? Active expressions of love are important to a relationship. I believe God wants us to tell him we love him too. Flowers, little gifts, tokens of love. You know those things are important too. Brethren, were you faithful about getting your wife flowers before you got married? You wanted to win her affection. How about now? Are you still courting your wife? How long has it been since you have done something special like you used to? Don't allow those things to fall by the wayside, brother. Don't allow those things to fall by the wayside. I've heard of men, you know, they act in a way that they shouldn't to their wife, and then they try to do payback with flowers. My wife and I were talking about men that do that, and she told me, she said, well, they can just save the flowers as far as I'm concerned. In other words, we don't want to use those things to just try to cover something up. Do you know there are two words that are very important to a successful home? I'm sorry. You know. We know. Because we're human, aren't we? Because we're human. And when you get placed in that close of quarters with anybody for that long and extended period of time, there's going to be some places that God shows you where He wants to perfect your grace. He wants to work on your long-suffering and your gentleness. And when you fall short, it's not the time to be pointing out the problems or the annoyances of your companion. It is time to come back to the basic scripture and humble yourself. Husbands, it may say you're the head of the home. You be the head in humility. You be the head in humility. Know how to humble yourself, honey. I'm sorry. I was wrong. Brethren, let's be the head of our home. You be the one. Have you ever been in a situation where you knew all it would take was just a little bit of humility, but there's just something that didn't quite want to do it? You didn't want to be the first one to say, I'm sorry. Brothers,
amen.
Let's take the responsibility and be the head of our home. Let's be men. The world doesn't see it that way.
Amen.
You be the head in humility and in gentleness and in kindness. We have a great responsibility, not just for our companion, but you know, we have children looking on tonight. Do you know how my boys are learning how to treat women? They're learning from me. I want them to learn well. More often than not, they're probably going to treat their wives like I treat their mother. You see, it goes beyond just how I want to treat my wife. I want to treat her right. But it comes down to, folks, I want my boys to have happy homes. I want them to know how to treat their wives. Sisters, it's the same way. How you relate to your husbands, that's how your daughters are learning. And I have a real burden in this line here. I am not interested in running men down, in running women down. And I heard an exhortation, admonition, one, I just want to pass it along to you. It's getting very socially acceptable, even among the saints, to get up and run men down. Well, there's just no good men, and there's just no good... Folks, you are instilling in the children that there are no good men. And by the grace of God, I beg to differ with you. The grace of God, the grace of God, through salvation, through the power of the Holy Spirit, there are still good, godly men out there. There are still men who love their wives. There are still men who treat their children right. Don't run men down, folks. And you run men down, I think about, talk about, especially that there's a temptation for single parents that have a companion off doing something somewhere to run their companion down to their children. Well, my wife, she's just no good. She's out doing this. The same thing applies to the brothers running women down. It seems like a lot of times the focus is on the men, though. But do you understand? When your daughters get married, and all they have heard from you or the older sisters that are single, all they have heard is men this and men that, and I don't want no man telling me what to do. They're going to have to fight some battles in their marriage that you caused because you did not have respect for the institution of a husband, of marriage, of what it means to be a wife. We should have great regard for godly husbands and godly men. Don't paint all the men with the same brush that the world does. Sisters, you wouldn't want the brethren here today to paint you with the same brush that the women out in the world, the things they're doing, the things of the flesh, the way they act, the way they conduct themselves and carry themselves. You wouldn't want us talking about you that way. Likewise, it's reciprocal. The brothers and sisters, there's no place in the church for us to always be running men or women down, folks. We need to instill a respect in our children. There are still godly sisters out there. Yes, there's a lot of immodesty and immorality. There is a lack of shamefacedness. But folks, that brethren, there are still some good godly sisters out there, thank God. I'm thankful for that tonight. I'm thankful for the older ones that are here that are setting that godly example. I'm thankful for the brothers that have been steadfast showing us that are younger how to treat our wives. I appreciate that. We have a great responsibility because our children are watching and they're learning by the things that we speak. We need to be a team. Mutual support. Sharing our weaknesses. We're all going to make mistakes, but folks, the grace of God's going to take care of that. I want to conclude with one other something to encourage you in doing. Take time and pray together. Family worship's kind of getting out of style. Morning and night, gather together with your children and pray with them and teach them from the Word of God. Folks, that's where they're going to learn. You know that time of family worship is a time as a family should bind you close together. And when the hard times come, you've established a prayer life with your companion. You've established that time of prayer that now you can face the difficulties of life together, seeking God for it. God has a very blessed plan for marriage tonight. There's a lot that could be said. I hope I haven't said too much. That's a burden that the Lord put on my heart. I desire your prayers. I again want to conclude with this. In any difficulty in your marriage, there is grace and there is a place that God desires and wants to bless your home as we do it the Bible way. Amen.